Hear again the word of the Lord. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Greetings, dear friends in Christ. This week we meditate upon Christ's passion, hearing each account from the four Gospels of our Lord's suffering and death. We call it the Passion, not in the way that we're used to hearing this word, to describe deep interest. For example, he's passionate about cars, or to describe romantic feelings. No, when we refer to the Passion of Christ, it is using an older sense of the word, the patient suffering and endurance. Now, this is due to love, but Jesus' love leads him to suffer for his bride, the church. His passion is not for the sake of his own fulfillment, but to wash his bride clean and secure for her an eternal redemption. Today, on Holy Monday, let us consider how to contemplate Christ's passion. There are false ways to contemplate Christ's passion and true ways. We begin with the false ways. First, there is getting angry at Judas, the Jews, or the Romans. This is to meditate upon the wicked men and their acts. When we meditate upon our Lord's passion in this way, we heap blame upon them. We get angry at them. But that is not the way we are to meditate upon Christ's passion. That's not meditating upon his patient suffering, but upon those people's sin. See, that's what the old Adam loves to do. He loves to shift the blame from me to someone else, just like Adam did in the garden. That woman you gave me, Lord, she made me do it. That is not how we are to meditate upon Christ's passion. The second way is to seek our advantage in Christ's suffering. This is the way that thinks waving a crucifix around will ward off evil or might prevent suffering. This is the kind of mentality that makes grandmothers buy little medallions for their grandchildren who never go to church, don't believe a lick of it, but it looks pretty cool, doesn't it? See, we cannot simply think that by having a crucifix, we are meditating upon Christ's passion and receiving the benefits thereof. We must truly be presented through the word, Christ's suffering and death for us. It is not meditating upon Christ's passion, but treating Christ as if he is a talisman that protects us without faith. Third, we must not consider Christ's passion in order to pity him or weep for him. This is not a time to hold a funeral or a public mourning for Christ, especially if we think that by our tears, God's wrath is appeased or we earn from him favor. This is, for example, the way that some will reflect upon Good Friday or Maundy Thursday, that it's all about us working up some emotion, and that by that emotion, somehow we become closer to God. That is not what this day is for. That's not what this week is for, dear Christians. Instead, let us consider the three ways that we benefit from Christ's passion and meditating upon it. First, Christ's suffering and death brings terror at the wrath of God against sin. See, we know that while Judas, the Jews, and the Romans did the dirty work, betrayed him, accused him, hung him upon a cross, it was our sin that put him there. Jesus himself says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." John 10:18. Or again, he says to Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all, including to crucify me, unless it had been given you from above." John 19:11. Again, this is not a time to meditate upon what the Jews, the Romans, Pilate, Judas, what they did. It's what Christ does for us. It's more specifically here, it's what Christ is suffering. You see, Jesus is suffering eternal death and damnation, separation from God's love, the wrath of God against sin. That's what Jesus is suffering when he cries out in our reading today, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is hung upon the cross, and there he experiences the wrath of God against sin. He stands as a sinner before the most holy God. That is what your sin rightly deserves. Damnation, separation from God, for every breaking of the commandment. Every nail, every lash, every moment of God's wrath is what your sin deserves. Don't think of sin lightly, dear Christian. This is what it cost. As we meditate upon Christ's passion in this way, this drowns the old Adam. The old Adam's temptation, what he wants to do is to think lightly of his sin. To just ignore it, to say, it's just a white lie, just a little lust, just a little bit of idolatry. It wants to minimize, hide, obscure, forget about sin. But behold, on the cross, the punishment for sin, death and damnation. And now we move to the gospel, dear Christians. For Christ's patient suffering and death is the only source of comfort for the sinner's conscience. See, what Christ suffers today has a purpose, our redemption. By his blood, he makes atonement for your sin. God doesn't just look the other way at your sin and ignore it. No, he pays for it. It is a dear cost to him, and yet he gladly pays it. Think of it this way. Imagine a grandfather and his grandson. The grandson is running around in the garage, and he accidentally breaks the windshield of the grandfather's fancy sports car. It's an antique. You can't get a windshield like that anymore. The child comes before him, blubbering, a mess. What does the grandfather do? He forgives the child. He takes upon himself the cost, the damage. The child can't pay it. The child can't find that windshield. The child can't install it. The child can't pay for it. So too with you. You can't pay for your sin, dear Christian. That's why God sends Jesus to the cross, so that he can pay for it. You broke something so terribly that it could not be fixed. Not by you. Instead, it was fixed by him. He has made full atonement. Or as we heard in today's epistle lesson, he has secured an eternal redemption. That is to say, Jesus didn't get a little band-aid for your sin. Here, I forgave this one. I've got you fixed up today. Oh, that's too big of a sin. I don't have a band-aid that big. Guess you're just going to have to bleed out. No. He bled out for you. And by his blood, he earned and paid for your redemption. That is what Jesus does today. We must trust his word, that he goes to the cross today to make full ransom and payment for your sin. He suffers all, even death upon the cross, gladly, so that your sins would be forgiven, that all righteousness might be fulfilled, and that he might wash you, his bride, clean by his blood, and make you presentable before him in the life to come. We will have no peace if we do not contemplate upon Christ's suffering and death in this way. We should not look to our own contrition, our own tears, our own sorrow to find peace. If we look to those things, we will find them empty, meaningless. Instead, we get to hear and rejoice in Christ's perfect suffering for us, for his rising for us, and for his sacrament given and shed for us. Did you hear it today at the beginning of our reading? Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. He takes the cup and he says, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Again, he is betrayed. He is hung upon that cross, not because of Judas or the Jews, not because of the Romans, not because of Pilate. He lays down his life for you. He sheds his blood. He pours it out to redeem you. He gives it for the forgiveness of sins. There on Mount Zion, on Mount Golgotha, outside the gates of Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago. And he gives it to you today through preaching at his supper. He is also raised on the third day for you. He is raised to prove for all time that his sacrifice, once for all, has been accepted by God the Father. He is innocent, but he has suffered for you. And now he leaves your sin at the cross paid in full and declares you innocent of all charges. Having been forgiven, now Christ's sufferings are also an example for us. This is the third use of Christ's passion. This is where we meditate upon God's great love for us and extend that to our neighbor. We see that Christ has borne with us, with our weaknesses, with our sin, with our anger. He even suffered his enemy. He suffered his enemies to smite him, strike him, and kill him. He suffers not just your sin, but also derision. He's put to shame. He's embarrassed. He's humiliated. He suffers. And what does he do? He bears it with patience and love. As we will hear on Wednesday, he also says from the cross to the Jews and the Romans who are putting him to death, he says before the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus loves his enemies, dear Christian. May your Holy Week be blessed, and in Christ's passion, may you see the severity of your sin, the greatness of your Savior's redemption, and his love for you, which will never pass away. Depart today in his peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen.